The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today, we are tackling thyroid diseases with guest expert Dr. Roland LaJoy, but first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 women, are supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based health safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families. And today, we are tackling thyroid diseases with my guest expert, Dr. Roland LaJoy. Roland, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
Roland was a guest expert a few months ago. We did tackle diabetes, and it was quite an educational hour. And again, we're very happy and pleased that he's back. Dr. Roland LaJoy is currently in solo private practice, focusing on endocrinology in St. Petersburg, Florida. Dr. LaJoy moved to Florida in 1984 after completing his endocrinology fellowship at the George Washington Hospital and his internal medicine residency at Norwalk Hospital, Yale University program. He is board certified in both endocrinology and internal medicine and has 25 years as a clinical associate instructor of medical residents through USF. Dr. LaJoy is a member of the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists and the American Diabetes Association, having been previously president of his Pinellas chapter. And so, before we start, once again, our phone numbers for calling in with questions, comments, thoughts about thyroid diseases is 289-1860. That's 289-1860 in Hillsborough County. And everywhere else is 877-969-8600. That's toll-free, 877-969-8600. And so we begin at the beginning. Tell us what the thyroid gland is and what it does.
The thyroid gland is a butterfly-shaped gland in the lower part of the neck. A lot of people confuse the location of this with their tracheal cartilage or their Adam's apple. If you want to localize it, it's about 2 inches below that, right above the sternal bone. So I get patients who have lumps in their upper neck and they think it's due to their thyroid when in fact it has nothing to do with it. So if you localize your Adam's apple about an inch and a half to two below that is where your thyroid is, maybe about an inch above your sternum. So that's where you want to look for abnormalities.
And it's a butterfly shape, so the actual
is on each side of the trachea. Mm-hmm.
So the predominant mass of the thyroid is on either side of the Adam's apple.
It's on below the Adam's apple, 2 inches on either side, and it will come up a little bit laterally and superiorly to
and
that.
And it's connected in the middle.
Correct. There's a little piece of glandular tissue there. Now, the thyroid plays an essential role in what we call metabolic rate, the speed at which your body functions work. So if your thyroid is low, is not working appropriately, and your thyroid levels are low, everything in your body will slow down. In contradistinction, if you have an overactive thyroid, then everything speeds up. A good analogy to that is what you'd feel like if you took a ton of tranquilizers. You'd be depressed, sluggish, you'd feel tired and run down. On the other hand, if you took speed, like a whole pot of coffee, you start getting twitchy, your heart rate goes up, you feel nervous and hyper. We can get into details on signs and symptoms a little later, but basically it controls every cell in your body has some stimulation by thyroid hormone.
So one can also think of it as the regulator of the body?
It's one of the principal hormones in regulating, yes, rates at which those cells function.
So if someone comes in and says, you know, I've been feeling just not myself, I've just been tired, how does one know, or how would you advise someone to self-analyze, say they have not been getting sleep over the last few nights? At what point do they need to consider seeing a doctor about potential thyroid issues?
Well, if there's a little more than that, one of the principal causes of chronic fatigability in our society is sleep deprivation. So if one has poor sleep patterns, that would easily explain the situation. If there's more, if people are having dry skin, if they're having cold tolerance, they're gaining a little weight, they're having maybe dry hair, they're having more constipation than usual, they're feeling more depressed than usual, then it would be worthwhile to pursue a little further if there's no obvious other causes for their complaints.
So it's kind of, because it's so pervasive in its influence, it's hard to really pigeonhole one symptom where you could say this is definitely a thyroid problem.
And that's the problem, is there's nothing really specific about hypothyroidism. Most of those symptoms can be reproduced by a lot of other medical problems. One psychiatric problem that overlaps a lot with the symptoms of hypothyroidism is depression. And it's very hard to distinguish those two unless we do proper testing. And in fact, psychiatric disorders are one great reason to do screening tests for thyroid function, because sometimes there's great misinterpretation. Some people who are treated for depression have a hypothyroid state, and their depression will disappear when treated appropriately with thyroid. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard to distinguish the symptoms of hypothyroidism from other problems because of that overlap.
So the nice thing is it can be easy to test for thyroid with a blood test.
That's the advantage. We have very accurate radioimmunoassays now. And if there's someone who has some suspicion of thyroid symptoms, and their symptoms are persistent, not going away or worsening, then we can do a few simple blood tests. Usually the principal screening test done is something called the thyroid stimulating hormone, TSH. If their thyroid level is low, that's not a thyroid test, it's a pituitary test, and we can get into more details with that later. But basically the pituitary is a thyroid thermostat, and if the thyroid's not working correctly, the pituitary activates and produces more TSH to try to get the thyroid to work more aggressively. If the thyroid is being attacked and is diseased, the TSH will continue going up and the thyroid will not respond. So an elevated TSH is very suggestive of a hypothyroid state.
Now we've spent a little time talking about how in a hypothyroid state it may be difficult to diagnose. Now, as differentiate perhaps with hyperthyroid, where there's sometimes some classic signs of a hyperthyroid state, the classic Graves' disease.
Let's define hypo and hyper. Hypothyroidism means a low thyroid. Hyper means a high thyroid. So things would be sped up. The most common cause of hypothyroidism is Hashimoto's disease. That's an autoimmune disease that 1 out of 10 women will get during a lifetime. and it tends to be transmitted more often in women of a family. And so probably 90% of spontaneous hypothyroidism is caused by that disease, and there is a blood marker we can use. On the other end, with an autoimmune disease that causes a high thyroid, that is, or hyperthyroidism, that is called Graves' disease. It's also an autoimmune disease, less frequent than Hashimoto's. Probably 3% of women will get that during a lifetime. And both of these, the genes become activated that attack the thyroid. In the case of Hashimoto's, the thyroid is destroyed and becomes low. In the case of Graves' disease, the body makes a chemical, basically an antibody that is stimulative to the thyroid and makes it go high. Now, with Graves' disease, some unique findings that are suggestive are a condition we call exophthalmos, which is buggy eyes.
Which is
Marty Feldman in the old days was a classic example, the comedian, for those of us a little older in the audience.
And First Lady Barbara Bush?
Another great example. And interestingly, George Bush eventually developed Graves' disease as well without the eye problems. Now, if you have someone who has those bulgy eyes, then one would definitely immediately look at the blood test to try to look for Graves' disease and an overactive thyroid. However, most people do not have clinically obvious eye problems. And so what they often will get are tremors. They'll have shaking of their hands. They'll have fast heart rates. They will be nervous all the time. A lot of them will sweat more and feel hot all the time when other people are cool. Some people will have frequent stool, loose stool, more frequent in that fashion. Some will lose weight, sometimes quite significantly, because they're burning up so many calories. If the metabolism is sped up all the time, it's like being on a treadmill 24 hours a day. So those are some of the obvious things to look at. There are some rarer things in the skin and fingernails that we look for, but often not found.
All right. And again, before we come to a quick break, let me remind everybody out there that our phone number here in Hillsborough County is 289-1860, 289-1860. Anywhere else, toll free, 877-969-8600. Toll free, 877-969-8600. We'll be right back with more on thyroid diseases on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic.
Talk Radio, 860 WGUL. This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are tackling thyroid diseases today with my special guest expert, Dr. Roland LaJoy. And from Bradenton is Cliff. Cliff's on the line. Cliff, welcome to the radio show today.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling about my wife who has been recently diagnosed with hemochromatosis.
Okay.
I'm sure you know what that is. I'd never heard of it, until recently, but it's, it runs in her family, and, you know, it's like a no-doubt thing. She's got it. But the reason we found she had no energy at all.
Okay.
Last 6-8 months, maybe even longer than that, maybe a year. And now we've read a little bit online about how the thyroid can be affected by hemochromatosis.
Okay.
But is that something that...
It's usually not the predominant...
Roland?
Yeah, that's not usually the predominant problem. The more salient problems are the fact that that iron overloads the liver and the pancreas. It can also affect, obviously, sexual glands. Men can become impotent from it, and it can penetrate most tissues. However, what we usually find is liver dysfunction and pancreatic dysfunction. These individuals can get diabetes, they can get liver dysfunction, et cetera, et cetera. As far as the issue of iron overload, it doesn't overlap with these autoimmune thyroid diseases we talked about. And if there's some concern about the thyroid, doing that TSH screening test I mentioned to you with a free T4, because one of the problems, the pituitary can become involved. So if there's some concern, the physician can do a thyroid stimulating hormone and the actual thyroid hormone level called free T4. And if those are normal, it would eliminate that as a possibility. But I think she'll probably feel better when her iron overload is taken care of,
Let's briefly go a little further. So the thyroid is not the primary target of iron deposition, although it can be involved?
Okay. Well, any tissue can be involved if you have very high serum levels, but it's certainly not the primary organ that becomes involved with this.
And if and when it does become involved, it's usually a hypothyroid state?
That's correct.
Well, the reading we've done said her fatigue, because she's had severe fatigue, and that... I just assume, or I think we read that was a lot of, the thyroid has a big responsibility in energy production.
Well, it does, but in this case, there may be a lot of other reasons. And if her thyroid levels are normal, then you wouldn't have that as an explanation.
I see.
Okay. It's easy enough to swing.
She had a lot of shortness of breath, too, whenever she exercises.
Well...
She used to hang with me doing most stuff. Now it's not even close.
Has her cardiac status been evaluated?
No. She's only 40.
Wow.
Okay. And this has been going on for the last 6 to 8 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's recently been how was she diagnosed with hemochromatosis? Did they do a biopsy or did they?
They did a blood test,
right,
that showed the genes. And she also has very strong family history. Her mom has it, or a couple of her uncles had it, her aunt maybe. I'm not sure which uncles or aunts on that.
All right. So they show a high serum iron effect.
That's almost certainly not the thyroid that's doing this, especially her exercise intolerance. There's got to be more to it than that.
Okay.
So, but anyway, she should get a thyroid and some hormone level testing. And if she continues to get very short of breath, she definitely needs a cardiac pulmonary exam.
And the heart can get involved as well,
yes,
as you mentioned.
Could the iron thing cause the shortness of breath?
Indirectly. I mean, it just overloads other tissues. See, that's the problem.
So these other organs are start functioning at a suboptimal, in a suboptimal manner, like the heart. And so therefore,
because iron in those tissues can become toxic to the cells.
Yeah, that's what we've heard. Is that reversible?
Usually is if the damage is too far gone. So if she gets some phlebotomies and her iron levels are significantly decreased, a lot of those problems should improve.
Okay, great. That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah, that's not very much in the thyroid area, but that's at least a little what I know on the side, okay?
Well, okay.
This is a good, but you know you're doing a good job thinking about correlating energy levels and so forth. So certainly keep thinking, and as Dr. LaJoy suggested, to check the thyroid, easily done. You may want to consider the heart. I'm sure your doctor is also evaluating that as well. But share with him the symptoms that she has, so to identify any involvement of other organ systems.
Okay, well, she's just been going to a family practice doctor. Do you think she should go to another type of doctor that specializes in that?
A second opinion never hurts.
Yeah. This is a kind of a how common is the team? I mean, what's your
sense? It's not that common. It's most physicians don't see a huge number of these, so I'm not sure which type of physician specializes in them. I presume probably one of the physicians you would consider would be, for instance, a hematologist.
Well, that's what we were thinking about. Should we go to one of those?
I think that would be a good place to start.
Okay.
Excellent.
Great. Well, thank you guys very much for your help.
It's our pleasure. We're here every week for your help.
Okay.
Have a great week.
Yeah. See you later.
All right. So, all right, let's go back to thyroid, and how about the term goiter?
Goiter is a very confusing term for a lot of patients and even physicians, and it really is sort of a catch-all term for any abnormality of the thyroid. Any abnormality as far as growth or enlargement is a goiter. You don't have to be low or high. You don't have to have hyper or hypothyroidism to have a goiter. You can have a benign enlargement, an absolutely normal test. The thyroid can be evenly enlarged, globally enlarged, as we call it, or you can have lumps and nodules, as we something we call a euthyroid nodular goiter, which is there are lumps in your thyroid that make it enlarged. So it's a catch-all term and doesn't really signify a specific diagnosis. So when you hear goiter, don't get alarmed. It doesn't mean anything till more specific assessment is done.
And we talked before about the most common types of hypo and hyperthyroidism, that is Hashimoto's as far as the hypothyroid and Graves as far as the hyperthyroid. And you had gone over some signs, common signs and symptoms, but what happens if, let's say, a case of Hashimoto's is undetected? What's the impact to that individual?
Well, people become more and more dysfunctional as their levels decline. And if they're not treated, what happens? They start drifting off into depression, lethargy, their ability to function physiologically, doing exercise declines. Their mental alertness and function at work declines.
How about cardiac function?
That also. The heart rate goes down. The heart pump declines. Indirectly, however, what happens is thyroid has a crucial role to play in cholesterol level. The bad cholesterol, what we call LDL cholesterol, goes higher in a hypothyroid state because the liver receptors that break down cholesterol are stimulated by the thyroid. So if the thyroid is low, the liver doesn't destroy the bad cholesterol as quickly, and there's more of it available to enter your arteries. So it may not be the best thing for coronary artery disease in the long term. And so the other things that occur are more subtle. People have fluid retention. They get more edema. They get a little fatter. Not a huge amount of fat. Most people will gain 10 or 15 pounds. People will gain a lot more than that. It's usually not just due to the thyroid. There's something else going on.
Okay.
And there's something called carpal tunnel that is more common. That's a pinched nerve in the wrist that is more common in people who have hypothyroidism due to swelling.
Okay.
And things of that sort.
Okay.
But lack of function and decrease in alertness and physical ability, mental ability are the crucial ones there.
And we'll be back with more on thyroid diseases. Once again, call 289-1860, 289-1860, and outside of Hillsborough County, 877-969-8600. Be back in a flash.
SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. White House economic advisor Larry Summers says he can't rule out a tax on middle-class Americans to pay for President Obama's health care overhaul. Mr. Obama pledged not to raise taxes for most Americans during the presidential campaign, but Summers says it's simply too early to say what will be needed to pay for health care reform. Senator John McCain says he's not made a decision yet on Judge Sonia Sotomayor's nomination to the Supreme Court. McCain tells CNN he's looking at Sotomayor's record and trying to decide whether she understands the limits to judicial power. He voted against her when she was nominated to the appeals court. Car buyers hoping they've cashed in on the cash for clunkers this weekend needn't worry that the money's running out. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says dealers will be reimbursed for deals in the pipeline. Militants in eastern Afghanistan use a roadside bomb and gunfire to attack a convoy today, killing three U.S. troops in the process. More details at SRNnews.com.
America's digital goddess, Kim Komando here. Cameras, camcorders, home electronics, HDTVs, computers, online security, privacy, Facebook, MySpace, Blu-ray, and MP3s. Phew, it's a good thing I'm so very gentle on your ears. If it's in your digital life, it's right here on your radio. After all, they don't call me America's digital goddess for nothing.
Kim Komando, Sunday afternoon at 2 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to Thyroid Disorders on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And once again, thanks for listening. Call in with your questions on thyroid diseases. That's area code 877. This is toll free now, 877-969-8600. And locally in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. And so, Roland, we talked a little bit about Hashimoto's and the signs, symptoms of Hashimoto's and what can happen if this is not recognized and therefore not treated. But as an autoimmune disease, it tends to also present with other autoimmune diseases. What types of autoimmune diseases can you see with Hashimoto's?
Well, let's lay the groundwork first. Autoimmune diseases, as a rule, appear much more commonly in women of families than men. With this particular condition, it's 7 to 9 times more prevalent in women than men. There is definitely a familial genetic profile in all autoimmune diseases, including this one. The first thing is to diagnose it as Hashimoto's. And we now have, like we do with rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, we do have a blood marker we can use. The most specific, accurate one is called TPO, which is thyroid peroxidase antibody.
And when did that become available?
Yeah, maybe the last almost decade now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's the test I use when I suspect Hashimoto's. The reason one would want to know this is to intervene early, because we get people who have borderline tests. It's also to be able to get women to be aware that if they have this particular condition, they have a small risk of potentially getting some other autoimmune factor, but also it will alert them to have other family members screened if they develop any symptoms that might be consistent with a low thyroid, and certainly if they have daughters, to inform them that they have this condition and to have them later on, usually post-puberty and earlier in their 20s plus, to be screened if they develop any specific medical problems. Now, as far as overlap, fortunately, only a very small percent of women develop other autoimmune diseases. There's in younger women, type 1 diabetes will overlap with Hashimoto's. However, typically the type 1 diabetes will show up before the Hashimoto's.
Okay, but not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
So that is certainly one in younger women we're very keen on watching. So in my type 1 diabetic patients, I tend to screen for Hashimoto's, because type 1 diabetic patients will develop thyroid disease about 25% of the time.
Well, that's huge. And therefore, if a patient with type 1, let's say, is managed by a non-specialist,
it is often overlooked.
And that's where I'm going. So it's important for you all out there that are listening that may have type 1 or know someone who has type 1 or has a family member with type 1, assure that that person is also checked for thyroid disease, Hashimoto's. How frequently, let's say a diabetes patient, a type 1 diabetic, how frequently should they be checked for development of Hashimoto's?
The type, I usually would check once a year.
Okay.
You won't usually miss too much in that period of time, because this is a slowly progressive condition usually.
Okay.
You don't fall off the cliff, so to say. The thyroid declines gradually and you'll develop symptoms slowly.
Okay. On that point, we have a caller from Largo. Shirley from Largo, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. And how can we help you today?
Hi, doctors. I just went to reorder my Armour thyroid, which has been keeping my thyroid under control. And the pharmacist says that you can't get it anymore. You know what happened?
Well, most of us in endocrinology, I know it may be working for you, but we consider Armour thyroid a fairly obsolete drug.
Well, I don't want to go on Synthroid.
Well, the reason we're saying that is because Armour thyroid is desiccated pig thyroid.
I know that.
It has two different hormones in it, and it's very hard to balance both concurrently because their ratios are not physiologic. So either the T4 or the T3 will be off the mark, and it's very hard to titrate. And we also don't particularly find the batches necessarily the most super accurate. So when we take a look at Synthroid or other, whatever other brand you want to talk about, the thyroid really makes more levothyroxine. That's what T4 is. And all of these preparations are synthetic, very pure T4. They can be titrated very easily. T3, 80% of it comes from the liver, not the thyroid. The liver takes T4 and converts it to T3 and self-regulates. So it's much easier, much more precise, much more accurate, much less fraught with erratic blood tests to use levothyroxine preparations, preferably brand names. They're much better monitored.
Yeah, but I've had problems from them.
Well, there's got to be a preparation out there that would fit you.
Why are they taking the armor thyroid?
Because the sales are declining year by year. Most of us aren't using it anymore, and I think that's justifiable if you look at the science behind it. So I don't control that, but I do agree with it.
Shirley, tell us what types of thyroid you've tried before that didn't agree with you.
I definitely tried the armor thyroid.
Okay.
And the Synthroid.
Okay.
And one more over the years, and I can't remember the name.
What was the difficulty with the Synthroid?
Pain. With the Synthroid, pain.
What kind of pain?
Muscle pain.
Okay. Is that have you heard about muscle pains with Synthroid?
I have a hard time explaining that. I'm not sure what's going on there. It may be that there's a change in her blood levels that were too rapid, something like that. But as a rule, muscle weakness may be. Muscle pain is fairly uncommon unless people have very profound hypothyroidism.
Did you say muscle weakness?
Pain and weakness to me is the same.
Yeah, I see that occasionally in people who have severe hypothyroidism, but usually not with a switch of brands, not if the transition has occurred appropriately.
Well, I was very happy with the other end.
Well,
they're taking it off the market because they're not using it.
Well, don't give up. There are preparations out there that, if done accurately, will keep you stable, and that's really what counts. If your blood levels are perfectly normal for you, you should not have symptoms.
So it sounds like you may want to consider another trial on the Synthroid, but doing it in a different manner. Well, we don't know how it was done initially.
Well, you probably. Part of the problem is, again, there are two hormones.
In the armor,
and there's only one hormone here. So it takes 3 or 4 weeks to build up that hormone.
I see.
And so what I would do with her is I would put her on Synthroid and Cytomel the first few weeks till her T4 was built up to appropriate levels. And that way we'd make sure that she wasn't low at any time.
And that should help address her this history of muscle weakness.
I suspect what may have happened, she may have had a drop in levels temporarily when the switch was made.
I see.
Oh, it was constant. They kept putting me on. And
they may not have started you on a big enough dose either. That's the other concern. I'd have to.
Well, when you read all the warnings with it, I got all of them.
Well, there are really the only warnings about thyroid is if you take too much. Other than that, the problem would be if you don't take enough.
When did you stop the armor thyroid, Shirley? How long ago?
When did I stop it?
When did you first try to switch over to the Synthroid? How long ago?
I was in New York State, and it was a fight with my doctor, my endocrinologist, for years, but
a while ago. What are you taking now for thyroid replacement?
The armor thyroid.
So you're able to still find it?
I tried to order it, and he says they don't carry it anymore.
Okay. So you're basically have to make a decision here.
Well, my doctor's not open today. I just found out yesterday.
I get it.
What happened to it.
All right. Do you understand how the armor thyroid is nonspecific? It has two different hormones, different levels, imprecise, and I imagine because of that there's some risk to the patient.
It was working.
Well, I don't know what your blood tests are, so I can't judge without having more information, but all I can tell you is I have hundreds of patients on levothyroxine preparations, and they do fine. Some of them complain a little bit in the beginning when I do the transition, but after they get stabilized, there's usually not much of a problem.
So it sounds like what's needed is a very careful transition phase therapy, transitioning off the armor into thyroid with Synthroid with possible use of Cytomel, as Dr. LaJoy
mentioned. Temporarily.
Temporarily only. So there's something to talk to with your endocrinologist about, that is, you know, to reintroduce the Synthroid, but using the Cytomel temporarily, and be very careful on the transition phase to have adequate hormonal support. Okay?
Well, no, but I don't have a choice.
That sounds like the best alternative that's available at this time.
It was a DO that ordered the Armour Thyroid, and I was very happy with it.
All right. All right, well, give this other alternative a shot. It sounds like the best way to go at this point from what the information we have. Thanks very much, Shirley. Have a great week. And on the line from Tampa is Faith. Faith, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you. I have a multinodular thyroid gland. Tests show the nodules are working parts of the gland. The gland is neither under or overactive. I might add, for a number of years, I was taking Synthroid. Due to what I've read, though, about 3 years ago, the negative effect that I read that the medication can have on the bones and the heart, I stopped taking the Synthroid. So far, all seems to be okay. In your opinion, what, if anything, would you suggest I do at this point? And also, one more thing. Would you consider a thyroid gland with nodules on one lobe to be a diseased thyroid?
The answer to the latter, yes, but it doesn't mean that you need to do anything with it. But there's something obviously that's incorrect with those cells. However, I will also tell you that over a lifetime, half of us will probably develop small or larger thyroid nodules. They're very common. Most of them are benign, 97% and 98%, so usually we don't have to do anything with them. As far as thyroid hormone, that is somewhat obsolete. We used to think we did something in shrinking these nodules with thyroid supplementation, and usually we'd have to bring that TSH real low. That means give you a little more than is purely physiologic, and the problem is that is wrought with side effects. It can cause cardiac arrhythmias and slow bone loss. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't shrink the nodules, at least not significantly. It's been very disappointing. So the majority of endocrinologists probably would not favor that approach anymore. So what we do is we just watch these. Now, if we have nodules that are predominant, we tend to want to biopsy those because there is a small risk, 2 or 3%, that those nodules can have cancer. Now, if you've had these nodules for year after year after year, they're not changing, it's unlikely there's anything bad going on.
But I think I mentioned tests showed that they're working parts of the gland and they're working fairly well.
Well, are all of them working?
Yeah.
All of the nodules are hot?
From what I understand, I have three on one lobe.
Yeah, and they're all active?
And they're all working parts of the gland. And
what do you mean working parts of the gland?
Well, that's an expression that I'm using that I was told. I don't know, is it as opposed to cold spots? I don't know.
Well, they're called hot nodules because they're taking up iodine. If they're hot nodules and they take up a lot of iodine, then they're almost always benign. But if they take up just a little iodine, they can still harbor some cancer cells. So that's why that report from nuclear medicine would be very important to read correctly.
So hot spots are good in this case?
Yeah, except most nodules are cold. I would say probably at least 95, if not 98% of these are cold. So I don't tend to do thyroid scans on most of these because we find almost all of them are cold. And if they're large enough, by large enough I mean half an inch or something you can feel, we tend to biopsy them. If the biopsy is negative, we leave them alone.
Right. When was your test done, ma'am?
Oh, this goes back a number of years.
So maybe 5 years?
More than that.
Okay, so... do you have the report?
I do.
Are you able to go back and read the report?
Yes, I have it.
Now, let's say the report, Roland, said they were all hot. It's been 5 years. Should she be retested or no?
Well, she only needs her thyroid levels tested because
those hot. Well, that I have done every year.
Then that's fine.
And everything is fine.
But if you have hot nodules, you can leave them alone. The only time you'd want to do anything with them if they became a cosmetic problem.
Okay.
Or your test became elevated.
So I just want to understand... What is the difference between hot and cold?
Well, the hot nodules, mm-hmm. what they're measuring on that, when they give you the scan, they give mm-hmm. you an oral dose of radioactive iodine.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The thyroid gland uses iodine to make thyroid hormone. Mm-hmm. So if cells take up iodine, it means they're behaving fairly normally.
Is that what they mean by a working part of the gland?
That's correct.
Okay. And if it's cold, then it's...
Then it means that they're likely atypical cells. They're not working, and they're the ones we worry more about.
Okay.
But
here's a question. Then, if the radioactive scan was done over five years ago, let's say they were cold, okay, even though her yearly thyroid levels are normal, what should she then do at this time?
Well, if those were cold nodules and they hadn't biopsied them,
correct,
and they hadn't changed, that's a pretty good test of time.
Hadn't changed by palpation, by feeling?
By ultrasound.
By ultrasound.
Because the ultrasound is the classic test we usually do to locate the nodules and follow them over time. The thyroid scan isn't very accurate on size. And so if those nodules had stayed the same size for 5 years, that's a pretty good indicator that these cells aren't doing very much, because cancers would tend to grow.
Have you had an ultrasound of your thyroid, ma'am?
No, I have not. No, but I know, I'm pretty sure that I was, that's where I got the working part of the gland expression from.
That's a thyroid scan and uptake, not an ultrasound.
Okay.
That they do for that.
That's right. That's what I have, uptake.
All right, so let's just review for Faith.
Okay.
All right, so let's say if she goes back and reviews her test, they were all hot, and her blood tests every year are normal. Does she need any ultrasound? Does she need anything else?
No, not at this point.
All right.
But if she had come in to see me initially, I would have done her thyroid test, and then I would have done an ultrasound.
And then followed with ultrasound.
Likely.
All right. Now, let's say she goes back and reviews her test and says those nodules are cold, and her blood tests every year were normal, but she's not had any ultrasound. What should she do at that point?
Well, the question is if we had some indication from her clinical exams that these had stayed stable, I wouldn't do anything either. If I didn't know anything, I'd at least get a baseline.
Baseline ultrasound.
Yes. Just so I could follow evolution over time.
And how old are you, ma'am?
I'm in my 70s.
Okay. Got a long way to go.
This is not, I suspect this is not likely to cause you a problem at this point.
Okay. All right. That sounds pretty good to me.
Yep.
Okay, I thank you very
much. All right,
much.
It's our pleasure. All right,
bye-bye.
We'll take a... Okay, bye-bye, Faith. Have a good week. We'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. Some good calls today. And again, we probably have time for one more call if you're out there at 289-1860 in Hillsboro out of County. It's toll-free, 877-969-8600. Roland, let's go back to autoimmune diseases and other autoimmune diseases that can be seen with Hashimoto's.
Yeah, the other conditions that one would worry about, there are a number of them, but the more common ones are rheumatoid arthritis, systemic lupus erythromyotis, SLE for short. Those are the ones we look for. There are several others, Sjogren's syndrome, mixed connective tissue disorders. These are autoimmune diseases that, again, tend to run in women of a family 3 to 5 times more commonly than men. However, the percent of women with Hashimoto's who get these is quite small. I've not seen a precise percentage, but it probably is under 5% will get an overlap syndrome like that. So if I have someone with Hashimoto's who's complaining of arthritic joint swelling, is having some sort of kidney dysfunction from, that we don't understand, I will check blood levels for rheumatoid and lupus and other things of that sort and make sure that they're not developing one of these particular diseases.
Right. How frequently do you see Sjogren's syndrome accompanying Hashimoto's?
I don't see many of these cases at all. I have a few women who have rheumatoid. I've had a few cases of SLE. Sjogren's is often an overlap symptom with these. I certainly have a few, but I can't say it's very common.
Mm-hmm. Sjogren's, of course, leads to dry eye and potential loss of vision and blindness due to scarring of the cornea. Okay, so let's talk in the little time we have left. On break, we talked a little about the thyroid patient, the pregnant thyroid patient, and consideration for after delivery, that indeed, because thyroid is transmitted across the placenta barrier or placenta, that the newborn has to be evaluated for thyroid disease.
Well, it's not so much the newborn. If mothers have hypothyroidism during pregnancy, there's a lack of normal fetal development. And so the rates of miscarriages and obviously poor fetal growth and poor fetal development are significantly higher. And so because Hashimoto's is so common, there has been in the endocrinology arena some suggestions of screening all women in first trimester for thyroid disease and TPO. The other issue about pregnancy is women who are on thyroid will most of the time need a dose increase in the third trimester and need to be monitored regularly to avoid developing low blood tests during the especially rapid fetal development phase. The other issue is if you have markers for Hashimoto's and you deliver, there is a fairly high preponderance of Hashimoto's markers with development of what we call postpartum thyroiditis, which will occur 3 to 6 months after pregnancy and is often interpreted as postpartum depression. Women develop thyroid problems. It can be high initially, then drop. And if they're not screened, then they have a problem. So think about that postpartum if you have a problem.
Quick phone call from Pinellas Park. Lynn, come right on the show. Ask your question. We'll try and answer as best we can in the limited time we have left.
I'll be really quick. My son was diagnosed with Hashimoto's about 10 years ago when he was 22.
Okay.
And there was a question about other autoimmune problems because he had a positive ANA, and it's a long story, but I won't go into that. But anyway, my question is, he's been on Levoxyl for now almost 10 years, and if his lab work shows within normal limits, does that mean that he's fine? The problem, I guess the basis of my question is, he's really never felt relief of his symptoms, symptoms of Hashimoto's while even on medication. I mean, is that something, is that common? Or
well, I think the answer to that question is going back to the beginning of our talk.